Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. He's Adam Herrock. I'm Sean Cantwell. He's on a full week of vacation, too.
I don't have to do my 9-to-5. I can just sit here and do radio and do session-like things and play Grand Theft Auto. I should probably do some housework while I'm off.
Why start now?
I have no idea. Oh, we got to give a big old shout-out to Marlette RV and everybody for the hospitality.
Oh, they took great care of us this weekend, our good friends up there at Santa Lake Broadcasting. And, yes, the Marlette RV Mobile Studio. Always fun doing the show out of the RV. Although we weren't, unlike last year when we did this, like we just sat in the RV the whole time. We weren't in the RV as much as we normally are.
Well,
like we were outside
of. It was nice outside. So we were able to be out there. And
it wasn't totally overbearingly hot for a change.
Except for poor Sean. He could not see the computer screen to save his life.
Oh, no. Sun's just directly bearing down on me. Even with the awning almost completely extended, still could barely see the thing. So I'm like, oh, God. Like, and as it turns out, my brightness was not all the way up on my computer at first. Uh-huh. That made things a lot easier. But like trying to see, like, especially to try and dig up and swap out songs and things, it was just a nightmare.
You needed one of those hoods that they have, like, for television, for NFL referees.
Oh, yes, that's what I need to be under one of those the entire time we were doing the broadcast, because that would have looked really cool.
Yeah, well, it would have helped you see, and then, you know, that helps.
It usually does. Like, I think I only managed to fire off the wrong thing once or twice, so that was nice. We're getting better. We're learning.
It's a process.
We're improving slowly but eventually, and I mean very, very slowly and eventually. But no, we had a blast out there. Got to do a bunch of OT on Happy Hour. You took off not long after Nuke of the Night Shift did. I ended up hanging out in the air to the Tiger game.
Oh, wow.
It was a good time all the way around.
I couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Right. And then, meanwhile, Eddie couldn't get me off the air. Like, the Tigers are starting. Like, it's fine. We got like 30 seconds. It'll be okay. Don't even worry about it. It's fine.
Just having to drag you away from the mic.
Right.
That's it. You're done.
Hey, I got us out right on time. Thank you very much. Even got the last song in. Didn't have it get clipped off of the end or nothing. I was on my game on Friday. I tell you what.
It was a lot of fun. Nuke of the Night Shift making the trek all the way from Oscoda. They were a lot of fun. They were troopers.
Right. That's kind of when we get to party with them in the RV afterwards. In their RV, not ours. I mean, or ours. That's why it would have been fine. But
yeah, right. Someone tells me that. Because if you guys don't know, Nuke of the Night Shift, they travel a lot, so they have their own RV. It's got Nuke of the Night Shift on the side of it, and it's they travel a lot, that thing, so it probably smells.
Right.
If you've ever been on a road trip with a bunch of guys, it starts to stink.
It does, especially when, you know, showers aren't had.
Yeah.
The whole RV smells like grilled onions and ain't nobody cooking. No one wants this.
Yeah. Exactly. But hey, they were great.
They were good sports about the whole thing. We're going to have to get them on a Sessions Concert Series show around here where they can actually bring the RV.
Yes.
And then we can party there after the bar legally has to close, you know.
Yeah, cuz you know, we'll be on the cover of Moonlight and cops won't figure out what's going on. So you brought
Well, they don't need to figure out if the cops are or you know what's going on, because technically we're in private property at that point. They can't do anything to us.
Yeah.
The RV doesn't need a liquor license.
Yeah. Who's driving it? We all are. We're all taking turns. So you brought in a little something special new.
I did. I don't know if I call it special per se, but you may have noticed Mountain Dew is now making a hard version of their beverages.
They're all making hard versions. I mean, everybody.
There's a hard Arizona tea now, which my wife absolutely swears by.
I think it's hot garbage, but, you know.
I don't like tea, so it's not for me. She says it tastes just like the real thing.
Well, if it was the raspberry Arizona, which is next to God's sweat, it's amazing. I'd try that. And so Dorothy and I saw an advertisement for this hard Mountain Dew Baja Blast. And you just happen to have a tall boy of it, and we're splitting that right now. And on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being PBR Seltzer, and number 10 being Johnny Walker Blue, I give this a solid 6.
I would give it a solid 6. And the reason we give it a solid 6 is because there's no sugar in this.
Yeah.
It's sugar-free. Zero sugar Mountain Dew. And if you've ever had Mountain Dew ever, you know that Mountain Dew is not a beverage that is intended to not have sugar in it.
Yeah, it's supposed to have sugar in it. You just accept it. I mean, even diabetics are like, you know what? I don't need both my feet.
Yeah, it's Mountain Dew. That's what it's that's what it's supposed to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't have that. Like, I tried the hard Monsters, which that doesn't sound like a good idea. And I tried one, and it tastes like a Monster, but it has that. Those hard drinks have that bitterness to it. Like, they can't get away from it. It's part of the process. But for me, it's just, it's that bitterness. I mean, and I've tasted a little bit of it in this hard Mountain Dew Baja Blast. And they have a whole line of them, I guess.
Like, they have a whole, like, they have multiple of those, but also, I don't understand why the first thing I try to look up Mountain Dew, first thing it goes to is boycott. I had looked up something else. Don't you know it's boycott? Like, everyone's boycotting everything for something stupid, apparently.
Yeah, that's
I don't understand this, but no, what I'm looking for, the hard Mountain Dew, and I don't know if they make these that aren't, you know, sugar-free. And we've established sugar-free things, they don't taste like sugar-free pop.
Yeah.
Is not good. Has a weird aftertaste to it.
Yes.
That there's really no reason for this to be a thing.
The only thing close to tasting like its normal counterpart is Diet Dr. Pepper. That does taste like a little bit like Dr. Pepper, but you know you're drinking diet.
Yeah, that is true. But, like, if you're going to just make a hard Mountain Dew, why not just go full bore and put all the sugar in it?
I don't know. Because you're also trying to tap into that White Claw group with the low calorie. Because, I mean, this thing's 100 calories. Well, 200 for the whole can. But, yeah. 100 calories per 12 ounces. But at that point, if you're drinking something that says Mountain Dew and it's got alcohol in it, just good. You're going to hold back just on the sugar? Let's go all in, folks.
Yeah, that seems an odd thing to do. Now, I remember at some point I did have the hard regular Mountain Dew, too. But again, it's zero sugar. Like, what are we doing here?
Right.
Like, if you're going to just embrace the hard brand, like, just make it taste like the actual product that you normally make.
It would make total sense.
Like, the good people at Heyer's Root Beer, they got it right.
Yes.
They did their Heyer's Root Beer with, and basically, the hard root beer with vodka. And let me tell you, there was none of this sugar-free nonsense from Heyer's. You're getting straight-up Heyer's Root Beer.
Yep.
With vodka added into the can.
Yeah. Maybe it's an American thing, because you can't get it. You can't get that Heyer's in the United States. You can only get it in Canada.
I haven't been able to find it in Canada in the last few years.
Really?
Like, believe me, the last time I think I was in Canada is when we went for the Irish Rovers show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was looking for it then when we hit the duty free on the way back over.
Oh, yeah.
And even tried to find it at the beer store, and no such luck.
Oh, man.
I almost wonder if they stopped doing it.
Oh, that's terrible. Everybody's just like, oh, I can't believe this stuff. This has sugar in it. This is terrible.
Like, what are we really even doing here, man? Like, what is the point of doing this if we're not going to do it with sugar? All right, I found it again. Okay. Apparently, they might actually still be making it. I found on some website, BC Liquor, which I'm assuming is like the British Columbia version of the beer store or LCBO or something.
Yeah.
That's what I'm assuming. So they seem to have it, it said they have it on, yet they do have it on their website, and they're...
Well, remember last
time... They're not selling it for $3.89 a can. That's a bit ridiculous.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
But, I mean, that's $3.89 Canadian, so realistically, it's like 50 cents American, give or take.
Wow. Apologize to Canada and their crappy money.
putting exactly like that. Canada's crappy money.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, last time we went through the duty-free, they were under, like, construction or something like that. I remember half of it was, like, empty because they were moving things around. So maybe we should just ask if they had any in the back.
Because, you know, as someone who works in retail, you know, they're always hiding the good stuff in the back.
Yeah. I'm
every single time.
I'm here to tell you that if you can't find something, it's because it's all in the back and we just don't feel like getting it for you.
Yeah, we're not getting you any.
It's almost time for our coffee break, and we just don't like you. There we go. There's the hidden treasures, the hidden knowledge of working retail.
Like, that's the whole thing. We've been hiding it this entire time. We want you to know that we just hate you and are keeping all the stuff in the back.
Exactly.
I'm not seeing it on the LCBO website. That is most disappointing. If that's really not a thing, then I'm going to be kind of bummed out.
Yeah, because we only had it in studio at one time, and it was like quite a few years ago now. Jeez.
Yeah, this was...
I think Mike Shireen was in studio with us when we did this.
Right? It's the last time I think he was actually... There's been a known sighting of him. Yeah, I'm not looking, searching the LCBO website, and they don't seem to have it. Or they don't have any hires anything from the looks of it. Nope, nothing.
Maybe hires got bought out.
Do they just not sell it in Ontario anymore? Which seems like an odd choice if I could still find it on the British Columbia liquor store website.
It could be. I mean, I know there's a lot of red tape and when it comes to selling alcohol in certain areas.
They don't. The man doesn't want us to have access to this delicious booze.
That's right.
That's the issue here, ultimately.
There's just one billionaire fat cat with all the hires.
He's just sitting on it, stockpiling it, hoarding it, really.
Yes.
And I say we as Americans need to storm that fat cat's compound and take back what is rightfully ours.
That's right. He's got a whole big safe, like Scrooge McDuck, just of hires hard root beer, and he's just diving into it every once in a while. Fools, I have it all. It's all mine now.
I guarantee you that's exactly what's happening. And it truly, truly disappoints me.
Yes.
They found it on another site. Whatever is that? Oh, it's another Canadian one. Tag liquor stores. I don't know where those are actually at. Something in the lower mainland, wherever that is. In what province? No idea. No clue. Apparently the one where they actually have privately owned liquor stores. Which would, I'm trying to find this because I this is something I just need answered in my mind.
I just like the fact that Canada now has privately owned liquor stores because this whole beer store thing sucks.
It really, truly does. Okay, that's also in British Columbia, I guess. That's disappointing.
So British Columbia just must be like the Delta House of province of all of Canada. It's like, we got rules and regulations here, except for British Columbia. Those people are crazy.
They can do whatever, literal everything they want. Doesn't matter. I apologize to British Columbia, I guess.
They're way over on the West Coast. We don't talk about them.
We pretend that they don't even exist, honestly.
Not like the snooty Prince Edward Island or, you know, Newfoundland. Or
they're an odd... an odd group in their own right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to find this. We're going to get to the bottom of this. I swear if I ever find it, I'm bringing home like two cases. Like this is going to be under the same thing as like anytime I find the Yingling Hershey's chocolate porter.
Oh,
anytime
yeah.
I find this stuff, we're immediately getting at least two cases. So just be prepared for that.
Oh yeah.
I don't really want to have to take a big old road trip over to the western side of Canada because that sounds like a long trek, but it's the only way I'm going to be able to secure this stuff, so I really don't find myself with much of an option.
Right. We'll figure it out. But, they're coming out with hard versions of everything. I mean, Mountain Dew, I mean, hard Coke. Coca-Cola, Jack and Coke.
Oh, yeah, the Jack and Coke. Yeah, they're a pre-mixed Jack and Coke. I'm surprised there isn't, like, a hard, like, Pepsi or Coke or whatever yet.
Is this just, like, a fever dream I have? Did I see a hard Sunny D?
You did, in fact, see a hard Sunny D.
Wow. That is
a thing. Wow. I haven't had it because I didn't really like the original Sunny D that much.
No, it's not. I was like, you like orange juice? Well, here's some Sunny D. They're not the same thing. Okay, they're the same color, but no. Sunny Delight is not like orange juice.
They are not these are not the same thing. No, the what has been my go-to in that sector though, the hard Simply Lemonades.
Yeah,
the Simply Spiked Lemonades. I guess
they're
called.
My previous statement where everything seems to have that bitter taste. Simply Lemonade, they figured it out because there is no bitterness to it at all. It tastes like lemonade.
Right, hard lemonade is awesome. Everybody knows it. Simply Spiked Lemonade, they figured it out.
I heard it as I was saying it, yeah.
Like, that's just going to be a thing now forever. Like, but they did. They have absolutely perfected. They did something that Mike's Hard Lemonade has never managed to do.
Yeah, Mike's Hard Lemonade.
There's always a little bit of chemical aftertaste to those.
I like Mike's Hard Lemonade.
I do too, but Simply Spiked perfected the formula.
It's a lemonade. It's like a lemon pop. It's as opposed to Simply Lemonade is lemonade.
It's straight up lemonade. Just happens to have booze in it.
Yep.
And it is fantastic. And they didn't do all the, oh, we're making this sugar-free so it doesn't taste like real lemonade. Oh, no. We're giving you the full Simply Lemonade, but booze.
I just imagine just going into like their research and development. Is this sugar-free? And they're just dumping an entire 5-pound bag of sugar. Nope.
There's nothing sugar-free about this, we promise you. But they figured out, why can't everybody else?
I don't know. They probably actually took some care with their product.
Everybody, what's that like?
Everybody else was just like, you know what? Let's just take whatever you want, put alcohol in it. These kids will buy it.
Just hope for the best.
21, 22-year-olds who just can't seem to really wrap their head around the taste of beer. Let's just put any, what is it? Kool-Aid Burst? Put some booze in there. Capri Sun? Booze it up.
Have you noticed, also, I'm waiting for the day they actually make a hard Capri Sun. How has it not happened yet? How has someone at that company not yet decided to make a hard Capri Sun? Because you know that thing would be flying off the shelf.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't be able to keep it in stock.
Still in the little pouches.
Well, of course.
The pouches with the straw. You just can't. You feel like Buffy the Vampire Slayer trying to stab through this. Oh, yeah, because probably in head office, they're like, we're for kids. Capri Sun, we've been gearing ourselves to the children for 20, 30 years. And somebody's like, I know, but now hear me out. What if we booze that up? Because the kids, you know, 20 years ago, now they're in a drinking age and they want to feel that nostalgia. And they're, let's face it, they're kind of wusses. They don't like beer.
Right, but that doesn't always necessarily work. I mean, remember they brought back Zima. And then everyone remembered why it is that we as a society just rejected Zima in the first place.
We all flocked to it. It's like, oh, I can't believe they brought it back. And then open one up, take a swig. It's like, oh, that's why.
Okay. I remember why we had to add candy to these now to give them flavor.
Yeah.
Like, because I, of course, was not old enough when Zima was originally a thing. I was not old enough to legally consume alcoholic beverages, and I really wasn't even old enough at that point to just sneak my parents' alcoholic beverages, and they were not the kind of people that would drink Zima. You've met my parents.
Yeah.
They were very much like Molson Labatt Blue kind of people, and maybe some blackberry brandy if you're lucky.
I just assume your mom had a moonshine still in the backyard and just drank her own White Lightning.
I mean, that's entirely possible. But they came out and they were making them till 08. I didn't realize they existed for that late. So I probably theoretically could have snuck them from somebody had I realized they existed. But I guess I always assumed that it would be like, you know, what Smirnoff Ice is, essentially.
Yeah.
That's, I think, kind of the flavor I had in mind when they first brought these back and I acquired one.
Yep.
And that was not what I got.
No.
Not at all.
It's like the best way I can explain it if for our listeners who have never had Zima, think of like what's a Alka-Seltzer with an alcohol taste to it a little bit.
That's pretty fair. That's not at all in.
We were adding shots of Pucker to it
just to give it flavor. You almost had to
add alcohol to alcohol. These are the people I want on my jury.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the kind of people that I might actually stand a chance with. Apparently, if I'm reading this correctly, they still have it in Japan.
Japan.
That's the one place where they brought it back. Coors apparently reached an agreement with Hakutsuru Sake Brewing Company to just become the exclusive Japanese distributor of Zima and Blue Moon craft beer. This was in March 2023. As far as I know, it still exists over there.
But it's called Super Happy Fun Time Zima.
Probably. I mean, that's the...
They put that, Hello Kitty on the front of it because...
Of course.
If you want to sell something, you just put Hello Kitty on it.
I mean, that kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? But no, I really like... Like, I would have expected that to be more like a Smirnoff Ice, and it really just kind of let me down,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Cool bottle, though. Really cool bottle.
But no, I agree with the nostalgia thing really should be bringing back a lot of those things that the 90s kids actually drank and making them alcohol. Like, there has to be, like, the fact that Capri Sun hasn't done that yet, I'm kind of amazed.
Probably working on it.
I keep seeing that Dunkin' Donuts apparently makes a hard coffee now. And I've seen, like, I think a hard tea of theirs at our local liquor store, but I've not yet managed to track down the coffee. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like it's a lot harder now to find hard coffee than it was when, like, the PBR ones came out and there was, like, a big boom surrounding that.
Yeah, those were delicious.
Those, I would still drink those, like, regularly.
Yeah, come to think of it, yeah, I haven't seen any of those in a while.
I can't find them at the stores anymore. We don't carry them at the bar I work at anymore.
No. Nope.
I don't know. I'm wondering if they got discontinued. And that's a bummer because those were the best, like, off, like, other thing that PBR has reached out, expanded to, that's not their actual beer.
And it wasn't hot garbage. It was great.
They were fantastic. And I'm really kind of disappointed if they're really not doing them anymore. PBR apparently, as of June 22, they had stopped making them.
Oh, man.
64% of Americans hadn't tried it as of June 22, which doesn't really say all that much, honestly.
Yeah.
But I guess I am kind of a little bit surprised by it. I can't believe the hard coffee thing went away, because those were tasty. I love those. Those were delicious. And it's very hard to find them now. Like, I would still consume those on the regular. I love a good, you know, chocolate-flavored coffee beverage that just happens to have booze in it, so I don't have to go and add my own and feel like just a total alcoholic, you know?
What? I'm just drinking my coffee, officer.
Right? Something nice about not having to Irish up my own coffee and, you know, because nothing makes you feel quite like a winner like taking that airplane bottle of Jameson and dumping it into your coffee, right?
Now, Buffalo Trace, they make the little K-cups of bourbon-infused coffee.
Ooh, okay. I can get down with this. I'm rather intrigued. We may need to track down some of these and get those in studio. Well, we had something similar the one time. We almost blew up Jim's Keurig doing that. But we're up against it. We got to hit a break already. Nick Lean standing by with your headlines after ABC News covers the world at 6 o'clock at WMIC AM and W237 EQ FM Sandusky. It is happy hour, and apparently Adam's really been working hard at getting to the bottom of the whole PBR hard coffee. The mystery of why we can't get these delicious beverages anymore. A special installment of Happy Hour investigates.
And I don't know why, because it's not discontinued on my screen. You can order it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, get it from, let me see, where?
And like, unless they start it back up, supposedly, it has been discontinued, which I don't understand. Like,
so maybe I'm getting outdated stuff.
I mean, that's just, you probably are. That's probably like just 2 years old at least. Like, I'm sure we still have some somewhere that's like that old.
Yeah.
I mean,
Pico's liquor store, you're able to get that delivered. 2-day delivery for $11.99 plus $3 for delivery.
2-day delivery? Who has that kind of time?
I want to get drunk now.
Exactly. I can't wait to get hammered.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is in a... Well, if you could stop floating around on me. This is in Delaware. Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Yeah, as of October 2022, they discontinued. Theories for hard coffee's decline in popularity include the relatively low alcohol content, especially when compared to other boozier canned cocktails. But it was like 5%, which is like most of your standard sip and stuff. Is it like, I think Smirnoff Ice is only at 5%. Like your average Mike's Hard is only like 4.5%.
Hard Mountain Dew is only 5.
Right. So like, I don't even see how that's a problem. They don't have any less booze than anything else on the market.
Right.
And they taste quite a bit better.
So they discontinue. Not enough booze. Get it off the market. Stop wasting our time.
Although apparently canned espresso martinis were the new hotness, at least at the time these things were discontinued, with multiple product launches in 2022 and one article even dubbing them the caffeinated Four Loko of adulthood.
It's classy because I'm drinking coffee.
Exactly. I'm a responsible adult because I'm drinking coffee. Never mind that it has booze in it. That's not the point.
Yeah.
That just seems so weird, man. I actually am kind of surprised by that it's not a thing. And I'm looking because I want to see if maybe I got bad info on it.
Uh-huh.
PBR's own website, where can I find Pabst Hard Coffee? Apparently, no. Where you can find it is you can't. Nothing loads.
It
started to load for a minute.
Yeah, I was on the Pabst Blue Ribbon website as I got through their very strong security. Are you 21 years or older? Yes.
You always found that kind of funny too, fact that like that's all it takes. Like, are you 21? Yeah, we'll take you at your word. That's totally fine.
Yeah, it's not my fault if people lie.
Like, at least they were smart enough to eliminate their seltzer because that was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't understand, I guess, and maybe it's because I have weird taste. How it is that hard coffee as a whole seems to have disappeared off the market, yet there are still 25 million varieties of seltzers everywhere.
And there's more on the way. I mean, the seltzer at our store, that section is just, it's taking over. It's like Hitler in the 30s and the 40s.
Like, there's just, there's no way that there's that much of a market for this, right? Like, half of these seltzers don't taste like anything. At least you have things like the Truly Lemonades at least have some semblance of flavor to them. I don't get, like, do people really just hate flavor? Is that the problem here? are white girls just, like, allergic to flavor? Is that what's going on here?
Well, the thing is, people have equivalated flavor with calories. So if you have something that tastes somewhat decent, a little bit of something, then they think, oh, this is low calorie, and it's still going to be hot girl summer.
This mostly tastes like water, so it's probably good for me. Yeah. Hi, Michelob Ultra. Like,
well, yeah, they kind of go that route, too. It's like,
this doesn't taste like anything, but that clearly makes it better for you.
Yeah, it's like only one carb in here.
And that one carb is what they use to flavor the entire thing. You can almost taste it. You can almost taste that one carb in there.
Yeah.
Or that one calorie or whatever.
But there's some people like Woody, that's all he can drink is White Claw because he's got some sort of a issue when he drinks regular beer. Maybe it's back in his heyday, he drank too much beer, and the body's just like, okay, that's enough.
I don't think it was just beer, man. I think there was a lot of liquor involved, too. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love liquor as much as the next guy, but sometimes I like something to sip on that's not just liquor and, you know, pop of some sort.
Yeah.
That's where I get, you know, when I get into my Simplies, dude. Like, that's kind of my, those are my go-to anymore.
Yeah. Those are good. That's a nice summer. I don't think I'd be able to drink those in the winter.
That's when you switch to Guinness.
Okay, yes, I knew that. I knew that answer.
I will say, speaking of on the coffee thing, the Guinness cold brews are pretty good.
Guinness, I don't think I've ever had.
I'll need to see, because I know they still sell them at our local liquor store.
Sure.
I'll have to pick those up for later in the week, because those are tasty. They're not, to me, they're not as good as the PBR hard coffees, but that's because those are like, it's a different kind of thing, right? It's like the PBR hard coffee, like it's that chocolate mocha.
Yes.
Unless you get like they do have them that are just like black coffee. And
yeah.
I can understand why those went away because they were terrible.
The
No one wants just black, hard black coffee.
I kind of dug it. I mean, I liked the mocha better. Mocha and the salted caramel.
The salted caramel was objectively the best.
And it was like, it was like drinking chocolate milk. Went down smooth.
It did. It was dangerous for that reason.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Well, you realize you've just down four of these. Like, oh, that's right. I was drinking alcohol. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to pay for this.
But it still has the caffeine of the coffee. So it's like,
right,
that whole danger that they've been warning us about mixing alcohol with caffeine drinks. It's like, we've been doing that for years now.
I mean, the Jack and Coke is a thing. Yeah. Like, we've been doing this for years.
The Jaeger Bomb, the Johnny Vegas is
oh, to be fair, the people who do the Jaeger Bombs are out of their mind, by the way.
Yes.
You people are a different breed, and I don't want to party with you, I don't think.
No, kind of.
Like, I don't trust any. I never trust anyone who drinks the Jaeger Bombs.
No.
It's like people who drink vodka and Red Bull.
Isn't that Johnny Vegas?
Well, no, that's tequila. Tequila. Red Bull,
and
watermelon vodka.
Yikes. Yeah, vodka and red. Okay, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
can't remember.
And it's always a certain breed of dude that drinks the Tito's and Red Bull. And his name's usually Kyle. And he's usually about to punch some drywall or punch somebody's face in.
Yeah, they're like, the bartender's like, I'll keep one eye on that guy.
You hear Headstrong from Trap just come on the jukebox all of a sudden, and you know who played it. And you know it's Vodka and Red Bull guy. And some you-know-what is about to go down. Every single time.
You want to go, bro? You want to go?
That's the guy who always insists on turning on the punching bag.
Yes.
He's that guy. There's a type. Like, stereotypes exist for a reason in this case.
As a bartender, you probably have had to rely on that a lot.
Honestly, yeah. Like, I already immediately don't trust you if your first drink of the night is a Long Island and you order multiple of them.
Yeah. Can I just get a picture of it?
Because, you know, we make our Long Island's like Long Island is supposed to be made. Not like certain chain restaurants that do their dollar Long Islands and it's like, you know, a light splash of vodka, a splash of gin. Like, you're legitimately getting a drink that's going to be ultimately like three or four shots worth of alcohol. And it's all different alcohol. And you're the only non-alcoholic thing going in there is like the sour mix and the splash of pop on the top of flavor.
Yeah.
So I already don't trust those people. And I know, especially if they go for a second one, I have to keep an eye on you now because you were just clearly looking to get trashed immediately. And you were going to be a problem for me later. You're the person I'm not going to be able to cut off, you know, when we actually hit 2 o'clock. Like, you're going to be the person that's just trying to fight me on it. And it has happened. Like,
yeah, oh yeah.
Those end up being the people that like want to start fights with people and then get mad when I cut them off and like don't understand why I cut them off.
Right.
That's one of those that exists for a reason. Vodka and Red Bull guys usually. You know, that breed, too. They're the one that look like they're about to try and fight somebody. And I got to really watch that person. The Long Island one's definitely another one. I mean, the Jägerbomb don't... So, I mean, that does kind of line up a little bit, but less so. But I just don't trust those people in general.
So we have behind the scenes, behind enemy lines kind of things with a bartender here. What is something somebody could order that you kind of... You know you're going to be able to respect them and they're not going to become a problem?
I mean, most things really aren't going to set that off as an issue.
What if they order? What do they get? Can they order that you're actually kind of impressed?
Well, okay. So here's the problem with that. At the place I work,
if they order an old fashioned, it's like, I ain't getting that.
they can't because we don't have vermouth. We don't have bitters. Like we're one of those kind of places. Like you order your drinks are 90% of the time going to be a beer and a shot. Or a drink whose ingredients are spelled out in the name of the beverage. I'd love to make you the best Manhattan ever. I don't have the ability to do that. Yeah. I mean, I have the ability to do it, but I don't have the ingredients to do it.
Old fashioned. I got some beer that outdated, so it's kind of old fashioned. You want some?
That's fairly old fashioned, yeah. I mean, occasionally it's weird, man, because I'll have people walk in and I love the place. I do. But it's the diveiest dive that ever dived. And you'll occasionally get someone come and ask for for a Cosmopolitan or an old fashioned or like something that clearly like look around you. Do you think I have the things to make this thing that you're asking me for? I have like literally two different kinds of tequila and they're both Jose Cuervo. I've got like three different kinds of vodka. Do you see Grey Goose up there? Let me point out to me on the wall where you see Grey Goose. Yeah, it's totally probably there between the Crystal Palace and the Tito's.
When I go to a dive bar, what I like to do, they'll say, what do you like to drink? I say, well, I can't decide between the 62 Merlot or a Bud Light. And they're like, Bud Light it is.
Like, we have exactly one type of gin here. And if you don't want Tanqueray, I guess you're getting, again, you're getting Crystal Palace tonight.
Ooh, sounds fancy.
Rum, you get Bacardi or Captain, take your pick. Yeah, right. Like, don't get me wrong, I wish we carried Bamboo, but we don't.
Yeah,
like,
right.
There are certain things, like, if you want something fancier than Maker's Mark, you are in the wrong place. Like, sometimes you gotta kind of accept what the place that you have shown up at and accept that you're not going to be able to get, you know, a Grey Goose and tonic or whatever. Like, look, we have tonic, but you're going to have to... I could offer you Stoli and Smirnoff. That's all I got. As Adam's now staring at the Havana Club rum that...
Drew brought in.
Our pal Drew Duffy brought over to my last 4th of July party. like, ooh, you know, I could really go for some of that right now. It's reaching for the pop. Like, someone's feeling froggy today.
Yeah, that's right. I sound froggy.
Well, yeah, see, you're not used to being on this side of this. Like, you came in here, like, just having gotten out of bed pretty much.
Yeah.
Whereas I came having, you know, done a full, like, day of activities already.
Yeah.
You're not used to that. Because normally I'm coming in here, oh, I hate my life. I got to do some radio. And today I came in like, all right, I'm ready to go. And you're like, yeah.
I know. We just spent a total of probably about 45 minutes just talking about booze. Somebody's a recovering alcoholic listening right now is like, could you guys just talk about anything else? Jesus.
All right, fine. You want me to talk about the Tigers? We can talk about the Tigers and how terrible they are. Is that what you want?
No. Okay, anyway, more booze talk.
Back to the booze talk. Yeah, that's what I thought. I
can't
thought.
Believe it. Yeah, welcome to Happy Hour. We've kicked more people off the wagon than...
Well, to be
we've kicked more people off the wagon than the Dahmer party.
Now, to be fair,
Dahmer party.
The Dahmer party? Yeah. Like, that's the
Jeffrey Dahmer party.
I mean, the same principle ultimately, but
yeah. Hey, Jeffrey Dahmer, why don't you eat me?
Don't threaten him with a good time. Rather high in fat, probably tastes rather, you know.
I would be succulent. Yes, I would.
Yeah, you he'd be all about it. How did we? Wow.
Okay.
It's going to be that kind of. It's already that kind of show today, folks. Strap yourselves in. You've got like another half hour of this crap, too.
Oh, boy.
Poor you. Hey, Lapeer Days is coming up this weekend. Oh,
yes.
God. I can only imagine what a afternoon that's going to be. You're not even going to be here for it.
I'll be like a couple hundred feet away.
Well, there's only so look. The headsets only reach so far. There's only so much heckling I can do from out in front of the Lyric Mall.
I don't know.
This guy's been playing the West Stage at Lapeer Days with his band Friday afternoon or something.
Yeah, 3:30 p.m. Stop by.
Opening up for a karate demonstration.
Yeah,
that should be fun.
Yeah, I'm on that rocket ship to stardom.
You really are. Like this, today it's opening up for karate demonstrations. Next week, next year, you'll be opening up for the beautiful baby contest.
That's right.
That's what this man's really, really just shooting himself. Just aim for the stars, mon frere.
Exactly.
We got to hit a break in this happy hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. You know, I'm impressed. We've gotten like halfway through this show and yet have still not managed to introduce an actual topic of discussion.
We just start talking about booze and we could just spend the rest of our day talking about that, couldn't we?
We really could. I mean, the two of us, we absolutely could do that. I do have something over here that is kind of another regular touchstone of this program.
Okay.
Weddings.
Of course.
We do a lot of wedding talk on this show for two guys who are well past, you know, have their own respective wedding vows.
Well, the whole idea of a wedding, and I'm not talking about marriage here, I'm just talking about the ceremony, the reception, and everything else. It is a hotbed for emotion and for things to just go wrong.
And a lot of bad decisions to be made.
Yeah.
It's really where people's worst financial decisions really... And their inability to make sound financial decisions really kind of comes to the forefront a lot.
Yeah, but it's such a blank show. I mean, I used to DJ weddings, and I didn't ever have to advertise. I just got word of mouth and was able to make a pretty decent money because I was cheap, and I did a good job.
But Adam Hairhug story, he works cheap.
Adam DJ, I work cheap. But... It's you
He'll
get
work for a six pack of beer and a fifth of Jack. You kidding me?
You get people who, I know it was about $500 and I still did pretty well. But you get people who.
You charge more for DJ than you did for any of our band bookings ever.
That's right. You put yourself in a situation with people who are planning one of the biggest parties of their lives who have never planned a party before.
You do get a lot of those people.
I mean, you get, yeah. Like, okay, we're going to have you set up in this gazebo. It's not big enough. I mean, once you get the equipment there, I won't be able to get out. Oh, well, that's fine. I mean, right? No, I need to be able to go to the bathroom.
I mean, really, I don't think anyone's going to care if you just whip it out in the park. It'll be fine.
No, but the thing is, I've been trapped in a gazebo. There's nowhere else to go.
I mean, it's the gazebo's outdoors, right? Like there's not like closed off walls or anything.
No, it was all screened in.
Oh shoot! Oh yeah, that makes it a little more difficult. And just go in the corner, no one will notice.
I think I saw the DJ's wee wee. I kid. We're gonna keep that between you and I, right? I mean, just the secret. This is the secret. I've talked myself into a corner. Play me out, Johnny. But I mean, anyway. So yeah, the weddings. Very rarely, I mean, you get a few people like, oh, the wedding was beautiful and everything was great about the reception. But most of the time, you get the war stories. It's like, oh, my God, I thought the bride was going to punch the groom during the cake cutting ceremony.
I'm actually amazed that no one had that to say about our wedding.
Yeah. No, yours was great.
Well, because we're people who are accustomed to hosting large parties. Like, we do that multiple times a year here. Like, it's just kind of our wheelhouse of things. There are a lot of things that I don't do well, and arguably bartending and radio broadcasting are among them.
Yeah.
But I can throw a party with, like, nobody's business.
And then Rachel can throw a party in her own right so that you combine your powers.
And
anyway.
And we just made sure that no one would ever be able to leave that reception sober. But some people just don't know how to do this and really have a hard time budgeting, as it turns out.
Well, that's you can throw your budget out real quick. I mean, I told a story. I know you got something going on here, but let me tell this one thing. I've said on the air before. My first wedding, which didn't work out. My first wedding, we had it outdoors, and we talked about porta potties. We want to get two regular and a handicap, and so my dad was footing the bill for everything. So for the Johns. And so I said, okay, we need two and a handicap. Okay, yep, no, and price was all up there. Everything was good. And the person on the phone was like, what is this for? Oh, this is for a wedding. Then the price doubled. I was like, why? Well, because these are white. I said, I don't care.
They're not going to be white by the time we're done using them.
Exactly. That's what I told her. I didn't put it so eloquently. But so,
it's insane how much these things jump up in price.
Usually women, typically, sorry to sound stereotypical, but this is a good thing. Women know how to shop. They can find deals until it comes time for a wedding. Then it's like $50 for the knife that you cut the cake with that you're never going to look at again.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yep.
Like we did a pretty good job of keeping most of the things cheap. Like, the place where we had the wedding was a place that her and I used to work at. The place that we had the reception was a place I still work at.
Yeah.
And, like, probably the biggest expense of all of it was the food, the catering. And it was a pretty simple, like we had a taco bar. But that was still probably the most expensive part of the day. Like, we had, you know, we called in a few favors, you know, cut the band to let's borrow the PA for the day to do our jam stuff. Like, we didn't spend outlandish money on a DJ. Like, the funny thing is there were still people who were trying to talk me into hiring a DJ who just happened to be DJs. Funny how that works.
Isn't that something?
You know, here's the thing. Like, you guys don't realize, A, a lot of my friends are musicians. It's okay. We don't, like, we've got the music part mostly taken care of.
Uh-huh.
And as far as the other stuff goes, do you guys forget the other thing that it is I do for a living? I can put together a good old time like playlist like nobody's business. And then I didn't even need to because we just use mostly the in-between music that we use in between band gigs.
Sure.
So, like, I don't need to pay you to sit up there and play all these songs that I don't want to hear because I've been to weddings where the DJ just ignores that anyway.
Yeah.
Like, so they get all the standards, all the things they think should be played. I was at a wedding where... With a former friend of mine who asked specifically for a bunch of, like, you know, 90s alternative grunge and Irish stuff to be played. And the DJ proceeded to not do any of that and play what they thought should all do.
Cha-cha slide.
Oh, yeah, that came out. All your traditional stuff and a bunch of, sappy, slow dancing, like, basically all the things that you would expect to hear on your local, like... soft rock favorites of the 80s, 90s, and now station.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of that kind of stuff. And, like, the first time, like, the one particular band that these guys really wanted to hear didn't come up for the first time until almost the end of the reception.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that was not going to be a thing with us.
No.
But these people apparently needed they had such a big budget for their wedding
okay.
that they decided the way to defray the costs was to sell tickets to the wedding. Newlyweds Nova and Remo Styles got creative, thinking of their nuptials like a concert and charging guests to attend their celebration.
Wow.
And I said, quote, people choose to go to Beyonce concert because they know they're going to have an experience. Let's put the stress on the guests and let's sell tickets for a wedding. Because, you know, there's nothing quite like a great, making a great wedding day by putting the stress on the guests.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great idea.
I was like, babe, people aren't going to come. The wife's, I'll be honest with you, I can't tell which one of these people is the husband and the wife. Nova and Remo are the first names. You tell me which one's the male name and which one's the female name.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and Nova is the bride.
Maybe.
Sure.
But people did come, but there was some pushback. I would never spend money on tickets. I don't care. Who do you guys think you are, Jay-Z and Beyonce? The tickets were priced at $333 apiece.
Why 333 as a like an oddly specific number?
It is. So that earned guests a seat on their double-decker bus and a 12-hour adventure in New York City. Their strategy spared them $70,000 in wedding expenses.
Well, okay, 12 hours. So they're like a bus tour and the wedding and food, I'm assuming.
I would hope so. Like that, if that doesn't include, if you're telling me I got to pay extra for food at that point, then
yeah. All right, everybody, have a good time. By the way, it's a cash bar. So, and then okay, $333. Okay, and you've got a bus. You're going around New York City. I'm assuming that also counts as your wedding gift. So that's $100 right there. Then food. I mean, it doesn't sound as money grubbing as you would have thought.
Certainly not, but I guarantee you're not getting anything for wedding gifts now.
No, that's
like you're getting $0 towards the honeymoon fund at that point, I imagine.
Everybody's drunk, everybody's having a good time, but the gift table is empty.
Barren. Absolutely barren.
Yeah.
Barren like the Sahara, dude. Like, there's no way that anyone's actually contributing gifts after you've charged them $330 just to attend your wedding.
Well yeah, because I mean, if it's you, your wife, and you got two kids, $1,200 to attend a wedding? I don't know.
That's a lot. And
of course, that's probably a great way to guarantee there's going to be no kids.
That's true. Now that's that smart thinking right there. Like, no one's bringing your kids a wedding that's cost $333 a head to attend. Apparently, other couples are flipping the traditional script to save some cash. We're seeing a rise in brunch weddings, one wedding planner said. Some opt for an earlier celebration versus traditional evening affairs, trading in the filet and fish for pizza and mimosas. One the bride in question there says, I would say we probably saved like $40,000. We had a beautiful wedding and awesome reception. The people we love and care about the most were able to be there, so I wouldn't change a thing. I mean, I don't see that's an issue.
No.
I mean, like I said, we did a taco bar and a couple other like traditional mainstays for them, but we didn't do a filet mignon dinner.
No.
Like, we were making damn sure that no one was walking out of there hungry by any means.
Yep.
But we weren't like spending, like, okay, we don't need to have all that. Like, I mean, I love a good filet as much as anybody, but I'm not expecting to.
No. I'm one of the people, everybody bags on masa choli at a wedding because it's just, everybody does it. I like it. It's really the only time I get masa choli.
Open houses and the occasional wedding.
Yeah, exactly. And every once in a while, if a funeral dinner is catered or something, I don't even know.
Right.
I don't even know the person in the box. I'm like, masa choli, here we go.
Well, I had an open house was held at my other job the other day, and like I came in, ooh, we got fried chicken. Ooh, we've got masa choli, and apparently homemade masa choli at that. Like, oh my God.
Here we go.
This was so worth coming into work tonight for this. I don't even know the kid who's
homemade
graduating.
Homemade masa choli? Oh, yeah.
Here, congrats, kid. Here's a 20. Thanks for the food. I haven't eaten all day.
Mom, do we know him? He gave you a 20. We do now.
Look, he threw down money. You're okay. It's fine. Don't even worry about it.
Right. So, yeah, it's $333. I mean, sounds like they're kind of from a rich family, you know? that kind of thing. So maybe that this is just kind of how they run in that circle. They're not from a Midwest kind of family where $333, you know, I could buy a lawnmower with that. It's, you know, that's normal for them. They're the ones who are able to get, you know, floor tickets to Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, which those are people who have more money than I'll ever even be able to think maybe about.
There's people who like oil barons, oil tycoons, and stuff like that.
Things of that nature, yeah. Those people have more money than we'll ever see in our lives, especially doing what we do for a living.
But, I mean, it's if, let's say, you know, we're in our mid-20s, late-20s, and $333 for a 12-hour trip on a bus, everything included, you would spend that anyway, probably with dinner, gift, drinks, and you know, to pay for, you know, transportation for 12 hours. You could easily spend that.
Sure. I mean, I guess it depends on what all the adventure consists of. Like, are we just doing a bunch of bar hopping? Or are we going, like, touristy sightseeing? Like,
maybe a mixture of both.
We're stopping at every neon T-shirt store along the way.
Here's an old bar that's been around since 1820, and here's where Lennon got shot. Get back on the bus.
Do I at least get to have a drink at said bar?
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
Come on now.
Of course. It's, I mean,
better be included in my entry fee.
But of course, in New York, most places have. I mean, last person I talked to that went drinking in New York, there's like a 2-drink minimum, and each drink, regardless of what it is like $15.
Yeah, there is that. I've you know, so I've never actually been to New York, but like I could see that being getting pretty expensive real quick. Now, meanwhile, when we did our New Orleans thing, oh my God, is this the only place you've ever been to? You keep bringing this up. Yes, I know, but like. It's possible to get away with, you know, $5 drinks at places, like,
yes.
Unless you're on, like, you're on the neon sign section of Bourbon Street.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you gotta find the places with the normal drink prices. Like, for my mom's wedding, she got married in 2010, and she flew us all out to Fort Lauderdale, and so me and my brother, we kept drinking right on A1A, and so, you know, drinks were $15 a piece, blah, blah, blah. And then we found out there's like this little area, like almost like a little strip mall off the beaten path by like 20 feet, this little Irish bar, and the beers were like $5-6. It's like, where have you been all weekend?
We've been looking for you. If only we'd known, we would have waited.
Yeah.
Would have dropped $200 in the span of like 3 bars.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta kind of know these things, man. Like you just kind of you gotta look off the beaten path a little bit, because once you do, A, you'll find a lot less expensive drinks, but also a lot cooler places. Like, because you get to some of these, like, the famous touristy joints, like basically anything on Lower Broadway in Nashville, where it's all just so like dedicated towards sucking tourists' wallets dry.
Sure.
And, like, that's the whole thing.
Everything comes with a souvenir glass.
Exactly. Like, you're paying for the experience. You're paying for the name on the front of the bar.
Yeah.
Really, at that point.
Exactly.
Wow, we've managed to bring everything back to booze yet again. Well, one more segment to go. Let's see how we can tie our alcoholism to that. It's happy hour. Stick around. Happy hours. We get set to get out of here on a Monday afternoon, and all right, we can roll with this. Why not?
The trailer just dropped for Saturday Night Movie. It's basically a movie It's called Saturday Night Movie. It's about Saturday Night Live when it first started in 1975.
That's really the best name they can come up with that movie, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are you going to call it?
I mean, I guess the book already took the Live from New York thing off the table, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like the go-to. Yeah. Like,
The Adventures of Lorne Michaels. But, I mean, they put together a cast that, I mean, the guy looks like Lorne Michaels and looks like Gilda Radner and Dan Aykroyd. Chevy Chase has some I'm looking. At it. He doesn't look the greatest, but it's the whole thing is.
As far as like who's playing Lorne Michaels, there's only one person I can think of who possibly even should be considered on that list.
A young version of Lorne Michaels.
Okay, the young Lorne. Okay, because old Lorne has to be Mark McKinney from Kids in the Hall, doesn't he? I mean, his whole character from the Brain Candy movie is like it's literally based on his Lorne Michaels impression, and it's like perfect.
I mean, I don't have the audio up here. I'm just looking at. The trailer here, and they got Jim Henson, who I swear looks like Jim Henson. Latka guy, the Mighty Mouse.
Oh, Andy Kaufman.
Yes, they got.
Well, they could have just got Andy Kaufman because we all know he's still alive.
Nah, he is still alive. He's just waiting. He's going to be at the premiere. It looks so good, and I'm a big Saturday Night Live. You're a Saturday Night Live fan.
Always have been.
And so I'm looking forward to checking that out. That movie comes out, I don't remember. Oh, October 11th. Oh, yeah. Well, the 50th anniversary of when SNL first aired.
I was actually looking to see if they cast anyone who like had been an SNL cast member in this thing, and it doesn't look like they did.
No.
I was kind of hoping, though.
They went fresh faces and everything else.
Like, the only one of these guys, the only people I've heard of that are in this thing are one of the kids from Stranger Things.
Yep.
Willem Dafoe and J.K. Simmons. I can't imagine who he'd be playing.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe. I think he's playing like one of the NBC producers or something of that effect.
Okay, J.K. Simmons is apparently playing Milton Berle. So that's
no way.
Way.
Oh, I remember because Milton Berle was like the first person to be banned as a host from SNL.
Because he was so bad. Like he's...
He was so
guys,
condescending to everybody, wouldn't read cue cards.
Has to steal scenes constantly and just go off an ad lib and no one knew where he was going.
Yeah. Oh, I'll go see it.
I would go, like, I would check that out. I would at least, I probably would wait for it to go to streaming, but...
Yeah.
Unless is it going straight? It's probably going straight to streaming. Isn't
no,
it?
It's actually going in theaters.
In theaters, really?
Yep. Oh, Corey Michael Smith. Okay, who plays Chevy Chase? Who he doesn't look much like Chevy Chase, but I think he was in Gotham. He played the Riddler in Gotham.
Okay, I'm seeing seeing this guy, and I could see him as a young Chevy Chase. Sure. Like, he's even got kind of the dimple in the chin and the whole
he
bit.
Does.
Like,
he does.
There is...
It's the wig. He's got like a Darth Vader kind of wig going on as Chevy Chase and just...
Like, looking at the guy's own natural hair, you could probably actually pull off a more convincing Chevy Chase than that. I imagine that's going to go off... the film's going to go off its way to make him look like just the worst person in the world. Which, I mean, to be fair...
He cut out after the first season, because he thought he was going to be like this big star. And okay,
and then
he was a big star.
He was, but then like came back, and then didn't he like get in a fight with Bill Murray?
Bill Murray, yeah. Those two, like Bill Murray was supposed to be in the original cast. He was basically the...
Last man out.
Yeah. And so Chevy Chase leaves, they bring in Bill Murray, and then Chevy Chase comes in there, and basically he goes in there with this idea that it's going to be this... pecking order. He's going to go in there and assert his dominance. And the story goes that, and I've heard it from both sides, and that it's John Belushi and Bill Murray in a room, and Chevy Chase pokes his head in and says something real, real, real jerk. And it came to fisticuffs. You know, they started batting each other, and John Belushi's in between them trying to hold him back, and the only person that got hit was John Belushi. I guess he got his ass beat.
That's pretty fantastic, actually. But, I mean, it at least it come as a surprise to anybody about how much of a jerk Chevy is. I mean, really, if anyone who didn't know that going into this movie, like, where have you been hiding under a rock? I mean, he's famously got himself bounced from, you know, a few things over the years, most recently Community, where
yeah.
they literally killed off his character just so they won't have to bring him back for the movie.
Yeah, and then there's other people like Beverly D'Angelo loves him. Still calls him Sparky from the Vacation movies. It's just like apparently if you get into that friend zone of Chevy Chase, you're golden. But everyone else
hates him.
Oh my God. Was it Chris Columbus, the director, could not work with him for Christmas Vacation. Hated his guts. And it was a mutual hatred story. And they're like, okay, John Hughes is like, okay, if you do this, I'm going to let you direct my other my next movie, and that ended up being Home Alone.
Wow. Yeah, that's a heck of a payoff there, I guess, at that point.
Yeah.
But, like, he just really just dropped off. Like, I think it was around the time that he got the late-night talk show.
Oh, I saw that. Oh, my God. It was so terrible. He was such a – he couldn't even hide the fact that he was a jerk.
No, not at all. And, like, you'd think, like, okay, he should be good at this. He did the late-night TV thing. They literally basically had him do a Weekend Update, like, thing on that show.
Yes.
And still, somehow – he comes off as just the most, he comes off as a total jerk on that show. It's actually pretty amazing. Like, you could make a heck of a biopic on that, just on his career alone.
Oh, there's probably one coming. As soon as he croaks.
I say they're going to have to wait till he dies, because you know that, because any biopic about him is going to make him look like an absolute just piece of crap.
It's going to be the truth. I mean,
I'm not. Oh, it's absolutely going to be the truth, but you know they'll never be able to do it while he's alive because he'll
want to play himself. Here,
he'll want to play young him too. Yeah, like that's gonna be the worst part. Like you haven't been able to pull off anything, you know, south of 60 in about 30 years, man. There's no way. There's not a chance on earth that would happen.
But I'm trying to remember. I'm the only person that's ever seen this film, but I've seen it a couple times. It's called A Futile Stupid Gesture. It's about Doug Kenny. It centers around Doug Kenny, who was co-writer for Animal House, and everything else. And I'm trying to think. Joel McHale played Chevy Chase in this, and he was great.
That's funny. Was that after the two of them had been on Community together?
I think it was during.
Oh, that just makes it even actually makes it that much better. And you know, he was just playing with all of the just hatred he could potentially muster, because he's had to see the dark side of that man as much as anybody working on that show.
Uh huh. Absolutely.
That's fantastic. So you know, Chevy's seeing this and just getting all ticked off, like. Maybe look like the biggest jerk on earth here.
No, Joel McHale, he actually played it pretty funny as Chevy Chase, but not in a real jerk kind of manner. Basically, he's at a party, he's dishing out food, and he sees a bunch of cocaine, and then just flips his food right off the plate and starts dishing cocaine on her.
That's pretty fantastic.
Maybe Chevy Chase doesn't want us to know that he did cocaine.
I mean, he's a celebrity in the 70s and 80s. Isn't it kind of implied?
It's implied.
It's if not outright stated, it's at least implied, I would think.
They were all on cocaine.
Every single one of them. On that note, we got to get out of here. Stop by Friday. We're going to be live. Well, I'm going to be live out in front of our Solid State Studios in downtown Lapeer for Lapeer Days. I hear rumor that Nick Lean might be making an appearance and doing the show with me that day. And if it goes well, you'll know, because you'll be getting a call Monday. Like, oh, don't worry, you don't have to come back. It's okay. It's fine.
I'm free.
Been trying to figure out how to do this for years. Who knew that this is all it took? On that note, Sessions is up next. Your local alternative Solid State Radio. I'll be in well. Talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya.